we're going to have for the next few weeks, and we're going to learn this really because of the first thing it said. And whenever the Bible says something right at the very beginning, it wants us to note it. And it noted all these other virtues, but it said this first, and I liked it about it. It's a principle. Somebody say, principle of first. It says this, finally, my brothers and sisters, always think about what is what? True. And so there's a foundation there. Think about what's noble, right, and pure. Think about what is lovely, what is worthy of respect. If there's anything that is excellent or worthy of praise, think about those things. And you really think about, I guess that pretty much eliminates Hollywood in what they're producing in media, maybe even on the internet, whatever you might visit there. But if you think about what's true, what's noble, that's probably going to put primetime television out, isn't it? That certainly isn't The Bachelor, is it? Amen. Well, one person said amen, Pastor. Amen, yeah. Or whatever guilty pleasure you may have. We all have those little, well, this is my little thing. Maybe even, well, let's not touch the Spurs today. Is that okay with everybody? Yeah, the thought might be, and somebody can close that door. I don't know why it's open, but people walk out and not close it. You guys, we need an usher over there. One day we'll have 20 everywhere in the house, right, everybody? It pretty much eliminates the need for something. I noticed whenever something's planted in my head, it grows. How about you? When you go to bed and if the last thing that you see is television, you just planted that into your head. And you say, I can handle it, Pastor. You're not going to preach one of those TV sermons. I'm really not. But I want you to do something with me if you can, with Irma and I. We're going to do this challenge with you. You show me the next slide. It's called the 7-Day Challenge. What I'm asking you for is 7 days from beginning to night is that the last thing that you do would be watch TV. It means that you turn it off and you might pray. Plant something instead of maybe the Tonight Show or the news or maybe something that you just want to watch until you doze off. Turn it off and say, well, it's so easy to fall asleep with the television, and I get that. But why not for 7 days you open up God's Word and read a passage out of that? You don't need to read 20 chapters. Would you take the 7-day challenge with me in turning off the television maybe for 10 minutes and you start getting sleepy? Can I see your hands right now? You want a renewal in your mind? For the marriages that are here, amen, you can put them down. Thank you, about 100%. Amen. One person didn't, but we'll look at you later. Amen. We love you anyway. What I felt is the marriages, especially in this room, maybe it would rekindle something to turn off that and read God's Word or pray for each other. Maybe it's been a long time. So let's rekindle that today. And let's do that for 7 days. Let's see what God does when we plant ourselves. And we'd have a good report. We'd think about those things that are noble and those things. See, the world's culture, the way they model love, how many know it's not right? It's pretty messed up. It's broken. It's wrecked. It's not accomplished. We think love is even taught to us, even from the middle school years or maybe elementary school years. It's done this way, this way, this way. And by the time you get out of high school, you've had your heart broken over and over. And God's intended it to be something different. I believe God's people should have the most healthy relationships to model to people. We should have it a little bit together. Not perfect, but we should model it towards the world. If you're like Nava, I've wanted to put love and true love, the truth about love, especially in my marriage sometimes, on autopilot. And what I recognized early on is it just doesn't work. The hardest thing that I ever have to accomplish is not really a pastor of this church or study for something or to accomplish something or to get through something, even a sickness. The hardest thing I've ever had to maintain and keep is my relationship really with my wife and marriage and so forth. And not to keep it on autopilot, but it takes work. It's a joy, it's a discipline, and it turns into a delight, but it does take work. It just doesn't happen. Do you understand that today? Amen. How do we do it God's way? How do we, when my computer locks up or my phone is giving me trouble, especially when it starts getting a little bit older, what do you usually do? You turn it off. Amen. You hit a reset button. Some of you have all the answers. You have to sometimes turn things off and reset them to recalibrate them the way that they were meant to be. And I believe sometimes you have to hit the reset button that God intended because God knew what he was doing when he talked about love. He is the originator. Is that okay with everybody? And so in their new series called True Love, you can show me the next slide. 1 Corinthians speaks about love. You're going to want to go to it in your Bible or your Bible Gateway, and or you'll want to see it on the screen with me today. I'm going to give you some thoughts in the next few weeks about true commitment, true communication, and it's going to build and strengthen your relationships. You say, well, I'm not married. That's okay. We all have relationships. You're here. You have a church relationship. You have a relationship with people in your school. You have a relationship with people in your home. Your young people, mom and dad, are your relationship. They should be, right, everybody? And so from a kid's point of view, I found something kind of funny. A kid's point of view, they said this, what is love? Chris, he was age 7. He said, when mommy and daddy give, when mommy gives daddy the best piece of fried chicken, that's true love to Chris. Elaine, age 5, says this, when mommy sees daddy smelly and sweaty and still thinks he's handsomer than Brad Pitt. Wow, Elaine said that. Isn't that good? Love is when mommy sees daddy on the toilet and doesn't think it's gross. That's Mark, age 6. That's too much information right there on that one. Jessica, age 8, says, we really shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot. People forget. Isn't that sweet? Yeah, for Jessica to say. Rebecca, final one, age 8, says this, when grandma has arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So grandfather does it for her all the time. Even when his hands have arthritis, that's love. That's what Rebecca said. I some of you think you have the market cornered on love. No, I know what love is. I fell in love. Couples, they have their love song, don't they? Some couples do. I remember I went through that season when I wasn't a couple, when I was looking, but all I had was Jesus. So my song was kind of with Jesus, was I got you, Mario. You got me. Thank you, Jesus, because Jesus loved me, right? Amen. That's all I had was Jesus. I'm going to go old school on some of you here. Our song, Irma and I, we love it, and it's ours, amen. It's Righteous Brothers, the song Unchained Melody, and y'all know it. I don't do it Elvis style. I do it right, Susan Boyle, in the name of Jesus, not Susan Boyle style, but I do it the righteous, oh, my love, my darling, I hungered for your touch. It is. Amen. I got one guy, amen. He's a fan. I need your love. God, speed your love. Man, I wish she was here right there. I'd be looking at her, amen. It'd be going on today, amen. She'll be here in the second service, amen. I'm just practicing with you, warming up, amen. And, man, I'm going to expect better in the second. Can y'all stay for the second service? I need somebody clapping, amen. If God is our source, and God is the originator of love, how do we get back to how love works and how God loves us and how we should love the world today? And so in the Bible, we have this 3:16 principle, and it's called John 3:16. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only Son, that whomsoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life today. And there's something that God did. He did something not only because he loved, and we can say, I love you, but God did something because he loved. Do you understand that today? Somebody say he gave. And that expressed his love. He expressed his love towards people because he was in love with them. And that's how we have that principle of love today and how it originates today. We get confused, I believe, with lust and love. We get confused with really convenience. Our love, our me, or really is it love, our compromise and love. And so you've gotten together maybe with people in your life, if you've dated a little bit in this room, or maybe you come from different backgrounds and there's not a molding that takes place. And some of us come from the place where you define love this way, but I've learned to define it this way. Do y'all understand that today? And there's two different views of streams, and that's why it's so important that we pray for our children, that when they find their two, that they understand and there's some sort of an alignment, that they don't come from different backgrounds, because each will come with a different background, and you know that and you recognize it if you've been married right here in this room. God is the author of love, and so this is how it looks like. This is how it's expressed. And so I found it through John 3:16. you have a couple of bullet points right there. Do you have your bulletin with you today? You're going to need it, and so let's look at it together today. Here it goes. God, the first thought is this. This is how it looks. God's love is unconditional. Somebody say unconditional. In other words, reset to unfailing. Reset the button to absolute steadfast. Unconditional love will heal your circle of love in your family. No matter what, I'm going to love you. Unconditional love is going to heals our church. I'm not going to walk away from you today. I'm not going to divorce this church. I'm not going to divorce you. I'm going to keep walking with you because I love you enough. It's unconditional. No matter what, I'm going to love you. Isn't that okay? Yes? And thank God. How much are you willing to tolerate from Mario? Amen? Let me move ahead before you get that later and leave anyway. God's love is what? Sacrificial? Yes? In other words, he gave his son. It was a sacrifice. He provided his best. God gave his best. And there was a commitment throughout the ages when man sinned in the garden. What am I going to do now? I'm going to have to give my best now. And through the ages, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, the Old Testament, patriarchs and prophets. It came to the New Testament, Paul, the early church. All through the ages, you see, God was saying, I'm going to give my best. I'm going to give Jesus as that sacrifice because I planned on it. And that's what love does. It's sacrificial. How can I love you and think about you today and sacrifice and do something a little bit extra? It doesn't have to be much, does it? We'll talk about that. It just needs, you're on my mind, you're on my heart, and I'm sacrificing. Love is personable, which means really it's not a feeling, an aura. I feel it's not an emotion. It's the person of Jesus. It's personal. Jesus made history as a man 2,000 years ago. He came as a person. And so love is very person-oriented. You see it. Somebody said, God is acceptable. God is acceptable. God's love is acceptable. Yes? That means you receive it into your life, and it's yours today. I can't love. I can't receive love is the argument. Maybe you can get around the one that loves. Plug into him so you can become lovable, so you're capable of loving. I can't, but God, through you, can. Do y'all get that this morning? Yeah, aren't you glad you came to the first service? Yes, amen. There's no capacity to love. Well, God has capacity. If you include him in your life, he'll give you the capacity to love people today. God's accessible. Almost the last one. Are y'all still with me? I'm so glad it wasn't just for a select few. It wasn't just for the ones that were this color or that color, but it was accessible to every color, right? It wasn't just for this economic person that was rich or poor. God came for everybody. Aren't you glad? Yeah. I'm so glad God's not a Democrat. He's not a Republican. God just takes over. Give me a good amen. So if you look at this and you say, you know, well, God's love, what is it like? I believe, again, you hit the reset button in the password that you would have, because we all have those passwords now on our computers or to get to the account. The password would be Jesus that you would punch in. And that's my code to get to the place and the goodness of God in my life. And you need it also. It's access to true love. The Apostle John, which was the apostle of love, right, wasn't he? He was a beloved one. He had to teach his church that about love. They were at this point in their history, in their church. And so he wrote a letter to them, three epistles, John 1, John 2, and John 3. And he had to point out, this is what love looks like. This is what love's all about. If you're running on love, if you're running on empty in your love life today, in your home, I want to dedicate this message towards you today. If you don't know what love is today because you say, well, really, it's really running low, Pastor, and I never think I'm going to find true love. If there's no more love to give, I want to really show you something about hope today and how God brings that. In 1 John 4:9, are you there with me in your handout? Or on the screen, you can read it either or here today. And this is how God showed his love among us, that he sent his one and only, this is sacrifice, he did something, into the world that we might live through him. And here it is, the definition. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he what? Yeah, he took the step first. He said, no, I'm going to become vulnerable. I'm going to take a risk on you. I'm going to show you that. And that's love right now. And I'm so glad we're looking at this together today as a church family. And he sent his son, his only son, as an atoning sacrifice for who? Our all of our stinky sins, God still loved us. The next slide would say, dear friends, you can show me the next slide. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to also love who? Yeah, that's our neighbor. That's our, of course, our spouse, our children, our grandchildren. Children, you ought to love your parents also. No one has seen God, but we love one another. In other words, when I look at you, I see God. Isn't that great? God gave me a definition of how he looked like, a makeup, because you're made in his image today. Somebody say, I look pretty good. Amen. All right, one guy said it, and the rest of y'all are chewing gum. Give me a good amen. Okay, good. All right, and so we know that we can rely on God's love for us. And this is how we know it. We love because he first loved us. He was the first one to love us. Maybe I'm the only one excited here. It shows us how to love that jerk or that difficult person, because we all have them in our lives, right? The one that hurts us. It's easy to love Pastor Mario. He's nice. Amen, everybody? All right. But how about that guy, amen, that gives you trouble at work or doesn't rah-rah you, amen? We cannot give to others until we receive. You've heard that saying, what goes down in the well comes up in the bucket. What you have in your tank will rise. And if there's not something of God in your life today, you're not going to give anything worthwhile today. So why don't you fill up on God's love and just spill out on people today. Is that okay with everybody? And so I want to give you an extra note here. The secret of love. Show me the next slide. The secret of love is being loved by God. It's a secret. No, I need to have that boyfriend, some of you middle girls would say. My marriage needs to get right. Then I'll have real love. No, the secret of love is really being loved by God today. And to have true love, it's always a circle, because no one ever arrives on this earth. One day we'll be complete. We'll see love in its essence. The invisible, we'll finally see Jesus, but that will complete us, honestly. It won't be Jerry Maguire anymore. It'll be Jesus today. And so you don't step towards that person that's messing you up, or that person that you think on this earth can complete you. Maybe we've been doing it backwards. Why don't we step towards God today? Because if you step towards God today, and then go into that relationship that you've always wanted, maybe then you'll see things in the right perspective today. Is that okay with everybody? There's always a difficult person to love in your family. There's some crazy people, man. Crazy. It's not crazy, but y'all know crazy. They were crazy. Amen. We all have them. Amen. Difficult people in the family. Can I just go and see? Do y'all have a difficult person in your family that's hard to love? Look around, keep your hands up, look around everybody, and if their hand's not raised, they're that person that's crazy. Okay, good. So I'm glad you put them up, amen, 100% on everybody. The love of God, amen, she said, I should have put my hand up, now they're going to think I'm crazy, amen. The love of God, it resets the button, it loves God first, and then it loves people. You see people that work differently when you love God first. Or your relative that's difficult, that relative that told you, man, I heard you lost your job, and they're smiling at you, and you just want to punch them out, right? Oh, your little baby, oh, man, she has a little funny nose. I love you, man, but I'm going to hit you right now for making fun of my baby that way, amen? There's always going to be a jerk, right? Let's just, at weddings, there's this, you get all sorts of people coming to weddings, but they have this love chapter that's resigned. I've done a bunch of weddings, and I usually end up saying this verse that I'm going to give you in Corinthians, and you have it in your Bible, and it's on the big screen. But what's interesting about Corinthians, this isn't really about a feeling. Somebody say, not a feeling, not an emotion. And we look towards that because we're so driven, but this is almost like a commitment towards people, how I'm going to treat you, not how I have just the hair rises on the back of my neck, or that I get this warm, fuzzy feeling. Do y'all understand that today? And if we get this, it's going to be so easy to relate to people a little bit better. And it begins by saying, love is patient. Let me stop right there real quick. Do you ever want to say, vengeance is mine? We all do. I'm with you. So don't raise your hand, because I'm raising my hand for everybody here. And how many are so quick, like, I'm going to go ahead and get it done right now to get it straightened out because they messed me up. So I got to go ahead and meet with them right away, right away, right away. But it says that love is patient. And maybe God wants to work out some mercy and grace in that situation. And maybe you ought to step back and pray a little bit, because it will teach us love, that love is patient. Don't go rush into the meeting, in other words. Life goes better if you just hold back. Some of y'all are listening to me, and it's awesome. Amen. I see you feeding on this, and that's good. It's God's word. Don't avenge yourself at every opportunity. Let God do it. Love is kind. Are y'all with me? It does not envy. Love does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Yeah. Why did you have to include that one? I didn't. The Apostle Paul did. Why did you have to? God loved me at my very first mistake. God loved you. He loved me at my very first wrong. And so he doesn't check by you that if you make mistakes. Love does not delight in others, does not delight in the evil, but rejoices in what? Truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love never. Mine will deplete, but God's love will never fail today. We can do it God's way. We're love this way. The feeling's going to follow. I'm going to love this way. The feeling will follow. Some of our marriages that have grown cold, I want them to get home, the home fires to get started. They just love God first. The feeling will follow later today. Young people in this room, if you apply this verse, you'll have life-lasting love in your life today, because it will show, I'm going to love God first, and then love will follow, amen? You want to make sure you make that decision, because culture goes feelings first all the time, doesn't it? The secret of love is being loved by God, and the next slide would say, the secret of love is showing God's love to others today. You apply God's word, you apply it. This is love with handles on it. Love handles. Can I call love handles? Y'all have some of those, right? Not me, but amen. Don't look at me that way, amen. But you love God, amen. Showing God's love. If you don't show God's love, there will be a counterfeit that will come along and show your spouse, show your children the wrong kind of love. Some of y'all are getting this today, amen. It's good. You got to show it right way today. And I gave you a couple of bullet points today, a practical love on how it looks like. And number one, these are going to be good. Here we go. Number one, somebody shout, say it. You got to say, I love you. That one man that I counseled and couple years ago, she complained like this. He never says, I love you. He never says it. He never tells me that he loves me. And I asked him, I said, why don't you tell her that you love her? And he said, I told her once. Reset button. My daughter Rebecca sent me a text this week. She had her wisdom teeth pulled, and that's not fun, is it? So she told me, Daddy, I love you. Thank you for taking care of me. I looked at that and I said, I went to her in her bedroom and I said, girl, what do you want? I know you want something. But somebody in the midst of her probably chatting or texting with her friends or looking at her social media, she's recovering, love had to get through. And she realized, and she wanted to express it. Say, I love you. Somebody say, I love you right now. Say it out loud. I love you. 100%, I love you. I can see the door handle back there. Amen. I have good vision. Amen. I love you. Y'all say it weak, but that's okay. Amen. True gape, I'm not going to walk out. I love you. Anyone that you love greatly, you will greatly have to forgive. And you will have to tell them, I love you, over and over. The children ought to tell their parents in this room that they love them. I love you, Dad. I love you, Mom. Parents, you ought to say it often to your children. I love you. I love you. I say it within our families. We ought to say it within our church that we love each other. Yeah, we ought to say it to our community. That we love you during the great passion outreach that we'll do in a couple of weeks. We do it because of love. And we can tell those people that are waiting for us on their front lines, we love you. We love your family. We're here to serve you. I tell my brothers in this room, I love you. And it's kind of weird, but I bro it up, okay? And just like this, is that you just don't walk up to a guy, or we take your man card away here at Living Faith Church. You just don't walk up and say, I love you. It's going to be kind of weird if I told you that, right, bro? Amen? But if I tell you like this, I love you, bro. That's better, right? Bro it up if you're going to tell somebody, I love you, right? Don't tell me I love you, amen, like that, because that's kind of weird, all right? We don't want that. You're not invited to the church anymore. You'll have to leave, amen. How about this one? I need to move ahead. Y'all don't, maybe the first, second service would be nicer, amen. Second point is this, write it. Somebody say write it. Yeah, write it. Card, a letter. Thank God for a text. Emojis. Man, I got on the emoji bandwagon, amen. I blew up people with the emoji. I'll emoji you if you want me to, amen. I sent these four hearts to Irma this morning, four emoji hearts, and then I put that heart that intertwines, amen. They have that emoji heart. I did it right this morning, right? I still have notes from my dad that's in heaven because they're important to me that he gave me. I still have John Sprinkle's note and his book, one of his books that he gave me that he wrote to me in the front because they're treasures. I love them, and there's nothing, you don't, The incredible heart that a note has towards somebody, it's a legacy that you can leave with somebody. Don't discount something by showing God's love by writing it. Number three is this: give it. The most meaningful gifts that I have aren't real expensive. Did you know that? And so they don't have to be. They're nice if they are. Some of y'all have that spiritual gift that you want expensive gifts. That's okay, amen. But thank God, here's an inexpensive. When you say my day stopped, and I had to run, and you gave me Chick-fil-A, my day stopped because I went and got you Chick-fil-A, right? My day stopped, and my world just paused, and I went in there and got what I needed for you, and brought this gift for you today. My world is revolving all around you, and I got your favorite taco, a papa con chorizo taco, and I brought it to you. This is a Baptist church if I've ever seen one, amen. Nobody likes, amen. Healing comes when you give something. You're having trouble, give something. Give your time, your schedule. Give whatever you can right now. It's important today. Number four is this, forgive. You're never more like Jesus than when you forgive. Forgiving's not easy, but if you're going to be like Jesus, you're going to need to forgive if you're his disciple today. It's hard to forgive people, isn't it? Tough. People are tough. We are called to do that. Especially with our long-term memories that we have, we remember what they did to us. And you can join the league that I'm in because it's hard for me to forgive people too. You're a pastor, you're supposed to, no, I'm Mexican. First, before I'm a pastor. I'll go Godfather style, man. I'll put a fish, man. I'll put a horse head in your bed, amen, if you do. Especially... Yeah, well, we're close. We're related, amen. There's always a guy that knows more than a pastor, amen. No, I'm joking. When I was 3 years old, I knew all these cuss words because my mom taught me those cuss words in Spanish. I knew more Spanish than English. That's what they told me. I don't know what happened to me, but and I remember when that doctor gave me a shot, a booster or whatever, I cussed that doctor out in Spanish. And the nurse... My mama told me this. The nurse that knew Spanish, the doctor was Anglo, but the nurse that knew, she said, "Oy, ¿qué dice?" She was hearing me say all these things to this doctor that hurt my arm or gave me that shot today. And so it's, you got to forgive people because it's been with us not to forgive. Always step towards God first before you, that person that you need to forgive. Step towards God and say, "God, help me. I know I should forgive this person. It's messing me up on the inside." And the fifth one is this. Finally, here we go. Live it. Yeah, live love, amen. Lean into someone. You got to know your neighbor, especially at Living Faith. We change our community. You ought to know the person that at your workplace that's tough to get along with. Where you shop, you ought to know the cashier. If that's your HEB, you ought to know the people there. There's some people that are long-term there at HEB. Don't you know that if you've been there long enough, right? And so be kind to them. You're the love of Jesus towards them. You're God's love. Your small group at Living Faith, that's why it's so important you're involved in some sort of small group on a weekly basis at Living Faith Church. You learn to love people. You learn to see them. The people in front of you, amen. The Bible says you're the light of the world. What? The world. That means you're the light on the block. You're the light at your workplace. You're the light in this church. You're the light of the world. The Bible says that we bring good news. We're the gospel people, the good news people. We don't. When you come, the party shows up because it's all good news. Oh, here comes that good guy that lives on our block, that good family. Here comes that good person that works with us. Boy, I'm boring some of you, but I'll rejoice on myself today. Good. And it's not a feeling. It's about obedience to Jesus today, right, everybody? Show me the last couple of slides here. I think, here we go. The Bible says this. Let's read it together. You haven't had any fun. I can tell why you're bored. You haven't read. Let's read together on the big screen on three. One, two, three, go. Sharing others' joy. Do you see the relationship? Cried with people. How many tears have Irma and I shed together in our 25 years? How about you that have been married way beyond that in this room or less? But how many times have we also rejoiced because of relationship? How many times in this church in the 15 years that we've been pastoring, the long-termers here, have we cried together? Have we prayed with each other? Have we rejoiced with each other? It's a testament of being together as a people today. Dr. Seuss said this about loving people. Sometimes you will never know the value of something until it becomes a memory. One more lunch with my dad didn't happen. Now it's a memory. One more outing with my father didn't happen. Now it's a memory. Do you understand that today? That lady that Wanda Green Fleming, literally a guy named Green Fleming and Wanda Fleming back in the day when I was just a volunteer at the church, the great church on 1604. Paid the visit because Green was passing away and dying. And they had been married like 60 years. That's a long, long time, isn't it, to be married? And everyone was around Green, and they were kissing Green and forehead, and Wanda was there attending to him. And I don't know what took over me, I guess stupid, because I was young. And as she walked me out to my car. They were dear friends and how they volunteered for the ministry. I said, you've been with him for over 60 years, Sister Wanda. Maybe you ought to let him go now. I was 20-something. And she said, no, Mario, I want one more day. Just one more day with him. We don't know how close the end will come for any of us in this room or any of us in our community or any of us within our families, and I pray it goes on and on and on. But right now, you woke up this morning with God loving you because you woke up. And you should wake up because now God loves you that you can love people around you that are right next to you. Is that okay with everybody? Why don't you practice right now? There are people that are probably very near you that you sat by on purpose. Maybe you can tell them as the lights come down. And if you're two guys in the sound tower, you got to be careful. Bro it up, amen. But would you tell somebody? And if you don't have anybody to tell that you love them, you can look at me. And I'll tell you I love you back, amen. Tell somebody that you love them. I love you. I see some of you here. I love you. I love you. Yes, amen. I love you. There he is in the back. You weren't by yourself. You're in the corner, but you're okay, amen. I love you. Yes, I love you. Show me the last slide, Nathaniel, and we'll finish up. Now, these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And those are going to remain because Jesus incorporates everything, and so do God's people, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these, the champion of it, is what?
Love.
Love always wins, and you cannot fail, amen, when you have love. Let's pray together. Just one more day, Lord.